Well, Jesus is like no other, isn't that true? How awesome it is to know him, to have a relationship with him, to walk with the Lord, and to experience him for yourself. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? I hope you're excited today. I hope you're excited about that today. God is doing so many awesome things, and Shalay shared some things about missions and what's happening. You know, in Ukraine, you know, we do have a base there, a 4-acre site, and we're working with various people who are migrating through, and people are trying to, you know, escape for their lives, essentially. And so we do have teams of people there, and how awesome that is to be able to be a part of that, and just God doing so many great things. I'm sure you guys remember I was in Phoenix last year at one of our other churches for a meeting there, and that church that I was at, they're the primary church that sent them out, so that is connected with that team. So they're always letting us know what's happening, giving us updates and so on. So there's stuff going on, not just in Ukraine, but all around the world, and we have people in places that you probably don't realize we have people. And God is doing amazing things, and it's been so awesome, and we're just so grateful to be a part of what God is doing. And we know these are the last and evil days, right? We do understand that. The Word of God tells us, Matthew 24 says, the last days, some of the signs will be that'll be like childbirth. They'll be like birth pangs, right? That these things will happen, wars and rumors of wars and plagues and pestilence, and there'll be all these things happening. And the idea is that when you see them increasing more and more frequently, more and more often, that the time is getting closer, closer and closer and closer. And that is what's happening in the world today. And that is why we need to pray. And the Word of God says, in the last days, we ought to be coming together all the more, right? And isn't it interesting that during coronavirus, everybody was spreading out? But God says, when you see these things happening, come together. And that is because we are under the covering of the Spirit of God. And when we operate in faith, when we're trusting in the Lord, when we're walking with God, God does things that you and I would not expect. We're calling them the and beholds of God. God goes, and behold. And you go, whoa. And God does something that he otherwise would not have done. He does something that was just unexpected, that you wouldn't expect. And God has a way of intervening and doing things in our lives that we can't understand, and we try to make decisions based on what we see, but it's the unseen that makes all the difference in the world. And God causes things to happen because we place our faith and our trust in him. And so today we will be talking about the and beholds of God. We'll be talking about why we proclaim and magnify the Lord. And I have with me Pastor Raphael and Pastor Michal are joining me today, and we are excited about what God is doing in the midst of us that causes us to proclaim and magnify the Lord. That's what causes us to soar like an eagle. Do you want to soar like an eagle? Well, we soar like an eagle by applying the Word of God and allowing the wind of the Holy Spirit to lift us, to enable us to flow, to move by the Spirit of God. And that is what God does. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And so we're going to jump right in here. And you guys are looking mighty comfortable there. You know, what is that? All right, he's going first. So are you ready for the Word of the Lord today? All right, well, join us as we pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your word today, and we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would that you would speak to our hearts and renew our mind as we go through the Word of God, as we share the testimony of the Lord. We just ask, Father, for your strength, for your wisdom, and God, that you would use us, Lord. Guard us against the challenges that the world is facing, that we would operate in the wisdom and the strength of God. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, sustain us, keep us healthy, and enable us to overcome every form of strategy the enemy would try to work against us, that we may walk in victory through Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, oh God. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. All right. Pastor Roth.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I got something you need, right?
I got it.
You do? Oh,
wait, that was my knuckle.
Ooh. There you go. Here you go. Here you
Ouch. Go. All right. Well, praise God. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of God today?
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, it's just such a blessing to be able to come into this house and be able to worship with one another and be able to just deliver the word. And I want to start off by saying that I really like the title, Tri-Pastoral Panel. It's very Jedi-ish. Yeah. 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 I think we should Tri-Pastoral Council next time, and then we'll have Jedi robes, and then freak everybody out.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to be like, what kind of church is this exactly?
What'd you say was in there?
Just tea. But praise God. Praise God. We like to have fun when we get up here, guys, because that's what it is to be a Christian, right? Yeah. A lot of people have this idea of being a Christian, and when it comes to being a Christian, that it's got to be one of those situations where you come in and the lights got to get dimmed, you got to light the right candles, and everybody talks in Latin, and I'm not, you know, pointing anybody out or anything like that, but it's not like that. Being a Christian is living what the Word of God tells us to live, right?
Right. Yes, amen.
And I don't know about you guys, but I have had more fun now as a born-again son of God than I ever did as a heathen, all right? Because now as a son of God, I actually remember all the good times that I had, you know? Whereas in the past, you would not remember the good times that you had because you were partaking in what the world has to offer, you know? But I praise God. And, you know, as we are getting into it this morning, afternoon, in January, we talked about do not be afraid, okay? Do not be afraid. And when we were talking about this, I was talking about leaving fear in the rear. And I know that when it comes to the Word of God, I always say, Lord, make sure that this Word ministers to me. Make sure that this Word applies to me in my life. And I know that when we go through this life, fear is a real thing, right? Fear is a real thing. And the enemy will be able to, you know, deposit all of these different crazy ideas in your mind and try to redirect your heart and try to redirect your focus on the fear itself. But that's not what God has called us to do. God has not called us to actually operate in that spirit of fear. You know, in October, we get together and we put these themes together, and no, we don't know what's going to happen when it comes to these themes when we put it together. But we chose do not be afraid.
Right.
And in order for us to not be afraid, sometimes God's got to put you in a situation where you have to choose not to be afraid.
Yes.
Where fear is a player in the game.
Yes. Right.
But in that process, you remember the difference between who the king is and who the pawn is. And in case you don't know, Jesus is king.
Right.
Satan is pawn.
Right.
And the king rules that board.
Right.
The king is the one that rules over. Yeah, the queen can go wherever she wants. I'm talking Alex language now.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that Jesus is king in our lives. So we have to actually act that way. Amen?
Amen.
And in January, we were preaching from Deuteronomy. And it says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." God's not saying that it's an optional thing. God is saying, "I, if you let me, will go before you, fight for you against your enemies to save you."
Right. It's the reason Christ is in our life. God goes before us to make a way for us. And that's what's so awesome about having the Lord in your life. You know, I love this. This was one of our passages for the, you know, we have our daily reading in the app.
The app, yeah.
Yeah, and last week, this was one of the passages that we read through. And I always love this idea that it says here in verse 4, the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you. He's not just going with us so he can say, "Oh yeah, praise the Lord, I'm saved, oh, I'm blessed," and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Lord is with us to intervene for us, to make a way for us. He is fighting for us against our enemies for the purpose of saving us. So even when we go through hardships and challenges and difficulties, you know, you might get roughed up a little bit, but ultimately you will be delivered. You will make it through. God will enable you to overcome it. And that is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the way I think about it, right, is how many of us have seen the movie Rocky, right? It's classic. And so it's like watching the movie Rocky and you're coming down the ring and you got Mick with you and you're dressed up like Rocky. Then when you get to the ring, Mickey is like, "Nah, Rocky, I got this," right? Because God sends the Holy Spirit to coach us as we go through it, right? Preparing as we get ready for this fight. And then when we get to the ring, Jesus says, I got this. Right? And I think it would have been interesting to see Mickey in the ring. "All right, Rock, I've got this one." You know? Probably not as entertaining as Stallone, but nevertheless, it would have been interesting. But the fact is,
he wouldn't have been going, "Adrian.
Adrian, I did it. Hey, yo." So, I'll start doing voices. So as we go along, right, and like you're saying, Pastor Shell, God goes forward and he fights the fight for us. Right. But the problem is that a lot of times we're going into this world, we're going into this realm with the idea that we are the ones that are supposed to be going out there and doing the fighting. Right. And as you know, as I go through the scriptures, and you know, this may have been preached in January, but I always ask God, "God, don't let this word that we hear on a Sunday just be for Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. I want this word to reside in my heart so that when I'm going through the fight, you give me the things that I need to be able to remember, God, you're the one that's fighting this. God, you're the one that's taking care of this. God, you're the one that has all that is that you need to fight this enemy."
Right.
And I ask God, "God, bring those things to me and my remembrance in the time in which I need it." And as I was going through and preparing, he brought me to Revelation 12, beginning at verse 7. And it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon." The dragon and his angels waged war. Right. Now, in case you didn't pick up on the similarities in this verse, there's a war going on. Right? Yeah. There is a war going on that you cannot see. That you cannot see. And in this war, as someone who has been to a war zone, war is not pretty. War is not a pretty place to be. But when you are at war, I'd much rather be the person that has all the equipment that I need in the midst of the battle than be the one that's looking all Jimmy jacked up and not ready to fight. Okay? And God, glory be to him, All he asks is for you to show up. All he asks is for you to show up. He gives you armor. He gives you swords. He gives you shields. But he says, I gave you all of that. But all I'm asking you to do is show up. And it goes on in verse 8, they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. You see, God is telling us that even though there is a war that is waging, he has already won. He has already won. You are dealing with, on a daily basis on this earth, against an enemy who's fighting a war that is already lost.
Right.
Already lost.
Right.
So why do we as Christians walk around with our heads down like we're the ones defeated when God has already said, no, I've already given you victory. Yeah. Yeah. I have already given you victory.
Right.
And in verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ has come. Right?
Yeah.
For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. When we walk around on this earth, yes, it may not always be a good time. We may go through trials. We may go through tribulations. We may experience loss. We may experience sickness. We may experience pain. But you have to remember, God has given you a Holy Ghost experience in your life. So when you walk on this earth, remember who your God is. Remember who holds the championship. Remember who is the king. And remember who still reigns in heaven and who's the one who got thrown out. His name is Satan. The one who runs the place is Jesus. So don't forget that.
Right.
Don't forget that.
Right.
And that's New Testament. That's New Testament. Let me tell you, God's been talking about this since the Old Testament. Because in Isaiah 14, 12, how have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. God has been telling us since the Old Testament into the New Testament, Satan has already been cast down. Satan has already been lost. I have given victory to my creation, man, through my son Christ. Now we just need to make sure that we actually operate in that victory. Because even though tests, trials, and tribulations come, the beauty of the test, trial, and tribulation is that it's an open book test.
Yeah.
It's an open book test. God's already given us the answers. And if we fail in the moment, it's not because we don't have the answers. It's because we have refused to open the book.
Right, right.
Praise God.
I love that. I think that, you know, it's so easy to just be religious and believing all the right things. But when you're in the thick of it, when things are happening, you know, we get sidetracked. And we often forget. You know, that God is here to help us. God is here. You know, he is with us. I like what you were saying. You know, if Christ is in you and he's your hope of glory, then it's our responsibility to get Jesus into the battle, right? So we gotta bring him in. We got to show up so that God can work through us, can give us what to say. You know, he's our advocate. He's the one who comes alongside of us, you know, and he's our advisor.
Yeah.
So once Christ is involved and engaged, then he can help us.
Amen.
But if we never go into it, then we don't need help because we're not even there.
And a perfect example of that, like I know what we're talking about with fear and everything, if we look at the story of David, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The whole army of Israel, trained soldiers, right, all sat there shaking their boots. Because of one warrior, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But David came in under the unction of God.
Right.
And he came and he knew that victory was already his, you know what
I'm
saying? Right, he was actually angry at the fact that they were all scared of this one man, you know what I'm saying? And that's the same way that we have to approach our fear, you know?
Right.
That even in that time, because you will to face times of fear, there will be times that come against us that are overwhelming to us. Mm. mm-hmm. for God to stand and know that right. I have already given you the victory.
That's right.
I'm bigger than that giant you're facing, you know?
Right, right. You know, Satan was thrown down out of heaven. Heaven is the place where the authority is. It's the seat of authority, right?
That's
right. It's the place where God reigns, ultimately. And he's thrown down, as we've seen in these verses. He was thrown down out of heaven into the created world, because Satan was also a created being as well, right? Mm-hmm. So here he is thrown down into creation, which is why, you know, he is known as the prince and the power of the air, because Satan has authority and power in the air or in the created world because Adam gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing here. This is the beginning of that whole process. Mm-hmm. He got thrown out of heaven because he was trying to overthrow God's authority. He was trying to take over the throne of God. He said, I can be, you know, like God. I can be like the Most High, right? Is that Isaiah, you know, has that as well. And so we know that God threw him out as a demonstration of God's ability to overthrow Satan's authority and his power everywhere. Not if he can't have authority in heaven and God can throw him out there, then how much more so when Christ comes into your life and my life, how we are able to also see him overthrown, not by us in our own strength, but in the strength of God, the Spirit of God. Amen. Who enables us to overcome. And that's what we're going to see here coming up. So I'm going to have Pastor Mihal, you can you know, take it from there, and let's look at that.
Yes, praise God. So I love that, Pastor Raphael, where you're talking about, you know, the fear, because fear really is something that holds us back from truly believing who Jesus is in our lives, you know? Right. So many times we face an obstacle, we face a situation that we can't handle in our own strength. And automatically we turn to either someone else, or the last person almost, it seems like, that we turn to is Jesus. Mm, right. Because, you know, we have faith in doctors, we have faith in medicines. And I'm not... Right. saying anything against any of that. I agree with all of that. I think that right. God gave us doctors and he gave us medicine, you know?
Right.
But
yeah.
What I'm saying is that in that, we have to also realize that fear mm-hmm. can hold us back from realizing right. that we have to take that step
right.
and actually truly trust that Jesus. It's the difference between being in the boat and getting out of the boat, right?
Right.
That's right.
You know, the fear can hold you in the boat, but if you get out of that boat and start walking on water, then the fear came in again, and Peter started to drown, right?
Right.
So that fear it stifles everything. We see even as Jesus is dealing with so many people in the New Testament, he puts people out of the room,
yeah.
right? Because of their doubt and their fear in that situation, mm-hmm. Jesus said, no, this is going to happen.
Right.
So anyone who's got doubt is out, you know?
Right.
And I just said, you know, that's such an important message for us to hear. And even here, as we look at feasting on Jesus, right, for confession, penitence, and reconciliation, right? You know, feasting on Jesus sounds like a really graphic term, I guess, and even disturbing in a way, right? But, you know, Jesus told us that that's what he desires for us, that's what he wants for us. He told us that in the New Testament, his own words, right?
Right.
But, you know, I believe that after we've dealt with that fear, we're able to actually know who Jesus is in our lives, we have to get to this place of maturity. We have to get to this place where we can confess freely our sins, one to another. We're not hiding behind anything. We're not covering over anything. We're not trying right. to, you know, hide any of our flaws, because God sees all of our flaws.
Yeah,
his
right.
desire is that we would lay them bare so the enemy cannot use them to actually cause us to right. fear the repercussion, right?
Right?
So once we're free of that, we can actually operate in that penitent state. And as was part of the sermon last month, that penitent state is actually being the good in every situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to be the good in every situation. When we're in ShopRite, when we're in our job, when our homes, when we're out raking leaves, when we're out, whatever it is, shoveling snow, whatever it may be, the motivation of our heart is to be the good in that situation.
Right.
And that's a maturing process, to actually
right.
have that mindset, no matter where you go, that our hearts are so entwined mm-hmm. with the actual relationship with Jesus Christ, that everywhere we go, that we have no other concern or no other motivation but to be the good in that situation.
Right.
That's a maturing process. Then once we get to that place and we can walk in that, Then we come to the place, the ministry of reconciliation, right? Where we're reconciling. We're already reconciled to God, but right. we're reconciling others right. to God. Right. We're reconciling others because we have now the grace. We know what it's like to trust Jesus. We know what it's like not to operate out of fear. We know what it's like to be free of all the enemy's accusations, right? And then we can also live that life where we're trying to be the good in all situations, right? And as we come to that place, now we truly taste and see that God is good, right? And here in John 6:53-54, Jesus tells us, he says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. Right. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, right. and I will raise him up on the last day. Now we know when Jesus was speaking these words, he was speaking to them to a crowd, but he wasn't actually invoking cannibalism. He wasn't actually trying to teach us a new way of actually sustaining ourselves physically. Right. What he was trying to show, what he was trying to separate here, was the difference between those who were looking at the carnal and the actual physical manifestations of the miracles that Jesus was doing, and inviting them to join him in the spiritual realm that Jesus actually dwells in, right? And he was trying to actually separate the two. And you see that so many left him after this. But his own disciples, they stayed because they said, where else can we go? You have the word. You have the eternal life, you know? So and that's the same thing that we have to come to. When we're out there and we're looking at, you know, our situation, we're looking at our problem, there's so many things. I mean, every one of us can sit down and describe our life affairs with eloquence, right? Because we know what we're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but you know what you're going through. And Jesus Christ is the answer. He wants us to come and feast on him, right? And as we feast on him, we start to understand that relationship. Right. We start to understand the authority and the power that we have. When Jesus was in that boat and he said, calm, be still, to the waves, he has given us that same authority. He says in Scripture that the same authority, the same Spirit, right, that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us, right? Amen. So we have that authority in us. But we don't believe in so many situations that we have that authority. Mm-hmm. And here it says that Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when Jesus says here in 18, right, and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, right? Jesus regained that authority on the cross, and he is now giving it to the disciples, telling them, go and make disciples of all nations. We have that same authority. We have to start operating in the belief that we have that authority in us. Not by my say-so, but by the say-so of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can know how to operate in that authority is if we hear from him. And the only way we can hear from him is if we're feasting on Jesus. If we're actually in that place of prayer, if we're in that place of actually getting in alone in our prayer closet and saying, Lord, how do I approach this situation? I don't want to approach it my way. I want to approach it your way. I want to approach it with the authority that you have given me. It's like an ambassador, right? An ambassador of the United States, if he goes to another nation, he has the full measure, the full authority of the United States behind him, right? It's the same thing as us. We don't have the power per se, but by proxy, we have the same authority that Jesus has, right?
Right.
And we have to start operating in that. When demons started to actually come up and start to, you know, tempt us and try us and try bring fear upon us, we have to be able to stand in the authority of Jesus and say, no, not today. I'm not going to bow to your authority because I have authority over you. Jesus has given me authority over you. Right. You know, there's so many instances in life. What we see is John here. I think he's here. John, I mean, awesome. I mean, I'm sorry to call you out here, John, but, you know, one of the awesome, examples, even in this church, we see John. He's a man who's free in the Lord right now. John can tell you his own testimony if he wants, but John wasn't always free to actually in the Lord. He'll tell you that himself. But he is free because this church stood with him in the authority of Christ. Amen. And no demon was going to actually be able to actually take authority over that. And there's so many other instances in this church, not just in this church, but in the body of Christ. But they're not because only it applies to only them. It applies to every single one of us. We have to come before God and say, Lord, what is my position in this? What are you saying to me? You know, some, you know, God, every one of our situations are going to be different. But as we hear from the Lord, now we can operate in full authority. Because I know, I have confidence that when I step on that battlefield, that Jesus has already showed up before me. I'm just showing up behind him. He's already fighting the battle. I'm just walking in the victory that he's actually sustaining or attaining for me. But I just want to finish off with this, right? Because I believe that this ministry of reconciliation is so important. This is what God is calling us unto. This is why he's given us the actual authority that we have, right? It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we will be made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. And this is crucial right here. I'm going to continue on with this. This is crucial that even then, when Jesus walked this earth and he walked with his disciples and he walked among men and he did the work that he did even on this earth, that's been told about 2,000 years later, right? And is still saving men and women, right? That even then they saw him as one in the flesh. They didn't see him with the authority that he actually yielded. And we have to get beyond that. We have to get to the place where we see Jesus as the authority in every situation that we face. And as we start to grow in confidence in that, when God says to us, lay hands on that person, the initial thought that comes to our mind is, won't be, Lord, I can't do that. Or, Lord, that's impossible for me. And it's true, it's impossible for me. But if God is telling me to do it, all things are possible with the Lord. And it's by his authority that that person can be healed. It's by his authority that, you know, whatever situation you found yourself in, you can have victory. And as we just go on through this, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, I love this, new things have come. So there's that behold, right? Behold is always followed by some declaration, right? You are a new creation in Christ. Don't let the enemy start bringing up your old self. Don't let the enemy start showing you things of you in the past. Don't let the enemy show you things where you're burdened down with your flesh. But instead, realize who the authority is in your life. Realize the power that you have through the very indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and now walk in the Spirit so you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? We can walk in that authority. We can walk in that victory. But we have to realize who the authority is. We have to realize who it is that is actually the authority in our lives. It's not Satan. It's Jesus, right? And just want to finish it out here, which says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So that ministry of reconciliation, we have to be about our Father's business. If we're out there living as the world and with no expectation, yes, we're never going to understand the authority we have in Christ. We're never going to exercise in the authority. But as we exercise in that authority, as we go out there and start operating in the ministry of reconciliation, we'll see the victory. We'll see the hand of God. We will see the victory that Jesus can give us, right? And now, I love this, the last verses here, so if we can get them. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, now counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, right? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ were making appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we have that righteousness, right? The old man has gone away. Jesus Christ is our authority, right? And I really just want to, Therefore, We are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ. That should be our heart's desire, that we are speaking to others. I gain nothing from someone else's salvation. I'm saved. You know, I gain nothing by someone else's salvation. It's not for my glory. But I beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That should be our heart every single day. Wherever we find ourselves, if we don't have that desire, ask God to give you that desire. Because that's what should be burdening your heart. Those who are unsaved, those who are, you know, on their way to hell, don't even realize it. That should be the burden of our heart. And as that becomes the burden of our heart, we will see the victories. We will see the authority. We will see all these things start to actually take place in our lives. And then we will live lives that are effective. Not just in this world, but we will actually be able to see the actual the effect that it has, even in the spiritual realm, you know? We're in the spiritual realm, right? That, you know, because when we start doing this, Satan will rise up. He will rise up because he will not be happy with what we're doing, you know what I'm saying? But that's okay, because just as David walked on that battlefield, right? Against the giant with one stone, right? We don't, our weapons don't need to equal the weapons of our enemy. We have Jesus, right? And all it takes is what he has given us, and that will gain us victory. Right. So, praise God. Yeah. Just want to kind of end it, finish
yeah.
with that.
Yeah. You know, and that's really at the root of having received Christ.
Mm.
Because we have to understand that it's Christ in us that gives us those desires, that gives us that hunger. The reason that people don't feel compelled to do these things, to beg people to come to Christ, is because Christ is not in you. If Christ was in you, then you would start to feel like that. And we have to make sure that we are genuinely born again, that you have actually received Christ in your heart, into your life. A lot of times, you know, people are just religious because they've been in church a long time, or they've studied and they've got the right information and they believe, you know, all the right things. I believe in George Washington. I believe that, you know, he was the president of the United States, all that stuff. But that doesn't mean I have a relationship with him and that I know him. And if you say, hey, George, remember that guy Sheldon? Yeah, no, I don't know who you're talking about. And the Bible says that when people get to heaven, that's going to happen to them. Because people are going to equivocate their knowledge of God with actually having received Christ. And there's a big difference between having a knowledge of God and having actually received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once Christ comes into your life, that changes everything. He creates a hunger and a thirst. God wants to stir us. He moves us. He's working within us. And the appeal that is being referred to here is not really coming from us. It's coming from Christ who's in us, because he has done something within us that causes us to make this appeal, to want to do the things of God. That's why we want to come to church. That's why we want to fellowship together. That's why we want to read the Word of God and we want to spend time with God. Even when our flesh is like, oh no, you know, there's something calling inside of us that says, you got to do it. Let's go. We got to rise up.
Yeah.
And the more we rise up and surrender ourselves to the call of the Spirit of God who's within us, the more we will overcome a lot of these things that we're feeling and that we're thinking.
You know, it's like this movie, Batman, that just came out.
Right.
I have not had so many people try to convince me to watch this movie because everyone knows I'm a Marvel fan.
Right.
And DC is just, you know, it's dirty comics. But I'm a Marvel fan. And I've had a bunch of people telling me how I got to watch Batman.
We'll pray for him at the end.
But the fact is that if as many people who has tried to tell me to watch Batman share the gospel that much, this whole world would be different.
Right.
Everybody is real quick to tell you about a great movie that they just watched.
Right.
I could tell you about the greatest movie I've ever seen, and that was the salvation of Rafael Jose Nieves from the South Bronx.
Right?
Because I came from a place where I was an addict, where I was a promiscuous little person, and I was out there cussing, swearing. I was out there drinking, smoking, doing all kinds of drugs, and God came into my life and said, you know what? I could use that guy. I could use that guy.
Right.
Right? And right. Now I praise God right. That the reason that I can wear a suit now is because I'm not going to court, but I'm praising God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's the fact, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we spoke about God
yeah.
And we begged as the way that God is telling us to beg, the same way that we try to convince people to watch a movie or root for a football team,
yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine what this world would look like?
Amen.
Man.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I still ain't watching Batman yet, so.
Well, I'm sure it'll come around. And this is what Christ will do. And that's why I say, are you guys excited? Because God, he's always doing things that just blows your mind, right? Because you're looking at what's happening. You're like, oh, Lord, help us, And then all of a sudden, something happens. And he just takes care of it. And that's how we've all made it to this point. We've all made it to where we are in our lives because God has done something throughout our lives that we've probably even forgotten about now. But there have been times when we were like, oh, what are we going to do? And how are we going to? And all of a sudden it goes away and you're just looking at the next thing. Oh, no, what are we going to do? But we forgot that. Well, remember the last time what God did? And we forget that. And it's so easy, to forget what God has done. And this is what we have to hold on to. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, he says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences, right? That's our, where we're not, it's not even something you're thinking about. It's just a reaction. It's just what you do. You're just responding. He says, we are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. God is looking at the heart. He's looking at not so much what's going on outwardly, but, what's happening with you within. And it's within that governs us, right? It's the within that helps us to overcome, all these things. And he goes on, he says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. All these things that, Michal was talking about. And, we have to just be sure that we are able to overcome.
Amen.
What's going on in our own minds, because it's Satan that's messing with our minds. It's Satan that tries to bring in the confusion and the chaos, and that we would be able to operate in the right way. That's why verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Right. Don't go by what you see. A lot of times people are reacting and responding because Satan is beguiling them. Satan is tricking them. And if we look at people and situations and the situations that we find ourselves in, and we hold it against that person, then when God delivers them, it's going to be hard for us to forgive them because we're thinking of them in the negative way. And we have to recognize who our enemy really is. It's not the person. It's not the people. It's Satan. He's thrown down. He is the prince of the air. He is using people. He's tricked them. The reason we feel guilty and we don't rise up a lot of times is because we think, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not good. Oh, well, I've done so many wrong things, so many bad things. Yeah, but, you're leaving out something. Satan tricked you into those things. He right. got you to believe something that was not true or was not accurate. It wasn't just you. Yeah, you gave into it. Yeah, you believed it. But there's more to the story that you don't even realize was going on. You don't even realize what was happening. You didn't just get cancer. You were eating food with high fructose corn syrup and eating stuff that had all kinds of random chemicals that you didn't know that those things were having a negative impact on you, but we ate them. Or we believe that it wasn't harmful, and we do things that are not harmful, and thinking we do things that are harmful, not realizing how harmful they are. You know, all these things, there's a cause and effect of every aspect of life. And as we go through life, we're having experiences, and we're trying to put out fires, we're trying to solve problems, we're trying to deal with issues, we're trying to survive. And we're doing the best we can with what we have, and Satan is taking advantage of our ignorance. And he is manipulating, and he is working behind the scenes to deceive us, right? He's the master deceiver. He can't tell the truth.
Yes, he is.
In fact, he is the father of lies, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the ability or the capability of telling the truth. So everything he does is a lie, which means he takes part that's true and twists it so that the end part of it is a lie, so that you believe something that's not true and start believing it. And when you believe something, you start acting on it. And when you start acting on something, it causes you to feel a certain way and have certain experiences come back upon your life. And so we're reaping what we've sown, not out of a genuine understanding of what's going on, but out of a manipulative form of deception that Satan has imparted to us. And so now we're in this fallen condition, which is how we got here. Yeah.
And a perfect example of that, I was just talking about Peter, you know, walking on water, right?
Right.
You know, Jesus called him out of the boat, and Peter walked on water, right?
Right.
Well, and as he was walking on water, his mind started to see the waves. His
right.
mind started to feel the wind, right?
Right.
And then he started sinking, right?
Right.
So what changed?
Right.
The waves were already raging. The mm-hmm. wind was already blowing. The only thing that changed was his belief.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So when he believed fully on actually right. that he could do this because Jesus had called him to it, he was operating in that.
Right.
But once doubt started to come in, once he started to, you know, have disbelief coupled with that,
right.
he started to drown.
Right.
You know? So disbelief in our lives is such a, a noose around our neck, right? Or it's such a heavy weight on us, because if we allow that, and that's the fear and the disbelief comes from the enemy whispering right. these things into right. our ear, right?
Right.
But it says take those thoughts captive.
Right.
Right.
That's what Paul says.
Not take them, but that's just finished there. It's to take them captive to Christ.
Right.
So Christ is the authority,
right.
and we're acting and we're right. taking those thoughts into.
Right.
captivity
right.
into the authority of Christ.
Right.
So now he comes and he fills us with a belief, and he right. dispels the fear that's in us so that we can operate in that authority.
Right.
You know, there's no other way of doing it. There's right. no other way of operating right. in the authority of Christ
right.
without first believing in
right.
the authority of Christ
right.
and continuing to right. believe in that and being quick to take those thoughts captive to Christ.
Right.
Because, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. One of the things I love about that story about Peter on water is that it's the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus
mm-hmm.
is when he began to sink. And the moment that we start taking our eyes off of the solution and start focusing on the problem, that's when we start to sink, right? Because the storms of our life, that's the problem. And the second we start thinking that those waves have more authority in our life than Jesus, that's when we start to realize that, you know what, I can't swim. It's like one of those, like the old Looney Tunes, when they used to run off, and then there was nothing there.
That's the Roadrunner.
And Coyote.
Yeah, right.
And he was there, and he was chilling.
Right.
Not even on the land.
Right.
But then he looked down, what happened? He pulled up the sign. Don't be the Coyote. Be the beep beep. Be the beep beep, not the coyote. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the solution, Christ.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. and you know, and this is the challenge, because the only way to overcome this deception is to know the truth. And that's why the Word of God says the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Because if you don't know the truth, if you don't know what is right, then you're going to believe something that's going to take you down a road of destruction, right? So we have to, that's why knowing the Word of God is so important. And keeping people at bay who are negative and who are talking about or who face life or look at situations or even especially your situation from a negative perspective and start to, you know, help you throw a pity party. You know, the last thing you need is people in your life who are going to help you throw a pity party. What you need are people in your life who are going to help you hold on to the truth and to what is right. And so just, yeah, praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And which is why Jesus put people out when he wanted to do a miracle, right? Or Elijah put people out when God was going to do a miracle. When you need a miracle, you got to get other people who are not miracle-minded away from you, because it's the introduction of doubt that will block your miracle from happening, because you're not even going to believe it by the time they get finished, you know, throwing you, you know, telling you all this stuff. And so, and that's what's going to rob you of God's ability to work in your behalf. Amen. Because that's a strategy of Satan. So instead of the light of Christ shining into your situation, darkness is filling it because doubt is creating shadows. So in verse 20 of John, it says, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you." This is Christ in us. This is what Christ is doing. This is how we overcome. It's not us, but Christ in us that enables us. And Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? So when it talks about eating his flesh, he's talking about the Word. Meditate on the Word of God. Feed on it. Let it be the source of the nutrients to your soul. Allow the Word of God to come alive. He says, "Here, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose or reveal myself to him." If you want to get to know God, you've got to be a keeper of the commandments. We've got to do the will of God. That's when Christ comes in you, that's what he will cause you to want to do. You may not be great at it, but you will at least want to. You will get better at it over time. You will persevere in God. God will strengthen you, and it will become more and more and more a part of your mindset, your subconscious mind, your way of thinking. In Matthew 16, 18, he says, "And I also say to thee that thou art a rock." Jesus talking to Peter, right? "And upon this rock I will build my church or assembly, and gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it." We are all familiar with this verse, right? So the idea is that when we are strengthened in Christ, when Christ comes into our life, we are going to be fortified against Satan's schemes and hell and all of the schemes of evil and darkness. They will not be able to prevail because of Christ in us. We are the church, right? The church is, we are the temple of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in us. God is spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. We're partaking in the manifestations of God because of Christ who is in us. God is just using our bodies. He's just using, you know, our flesh so that his will can be done, so that we can compel people to come to Christ, to understand that your sin debt has been paid. Christ has paid your sin debt. You can be free if you accept his payment and live for him. He says, "Do you really love me? Keep my commandments." He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And this is what it means to love God, that there's something in you that wants to just honor him and keep his commandments. Why? Because when you keep his commandments, it positions you in a place where you can overcome Satan's trickery in your own mind. You get self-control, which is control over your own mind. Your own mind is brought under the subjection of the Spirit of God so that Satan can't keep tricking you or can't keep getting you to believe something that renders you powerless for the sake of the kingdom of God or for the cause of Christ. And so he says in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the reign of heaven, or the keys of the kingdom, and whatever thou may bind on the earth shall be having been bound, look at that language, in the heavens. And whatever you may loose upon the earth shall be having been loosed in the heavens. So the idea is that we are binding and loosing things that have already been bound and loosed. Why? Because Christ has already bound them. He did that at the cross. It's what took place at the cross. And so when we're binding Satan, well, Jesus already bound Satan. Now you got to bind what he's telling you. It's the words that he is giving you, or the things that he wants you to believe about yourself or about your situation, that needs to be bound. And that is by the truth of God, because God has already bound Satan. He has been rendered powerless. That's why he was thrown out of heaven. That's why he has no power. He's thrown out of the place of authority. And now here he is in the dominion of the earth, or the reign of the earth, the created world. And God gave Adam all authority, right? Originally, Adam and Eve had the authority in the garden. And then Satan tricked them, right? By getting them to question what God said. God said, you have all the authority. And so Satan says, do you really have all the authority? Do you really believe what God said? Do you really believe all that? And essentially, what he was doing was getting Adam and Eve to doubt God. Once they doubted God, he became their ruler or their master, because now their faith was in the words of Satan rather than the words of God. And once they believed Satan, the authority that they had was literally handed over to Satan. And so now Satan has the authority. Why? Because it's all about whose words man will believe. So Satan is now God over Adam and Eve, because his word had more weight than God's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you are believing something that's contrary to the word of God, you're giving Satan authority over your life. And this is why the unbeliever is in the authority of Satan, or under demonic inspiration, because they don't believe the word of God. They're believing Satan's deceptive works in the world. And because they're buying into the deceptions of the world, they're therefore believing Satan and submitting themselves under his authority, because all of their decisions, all of the things that they're doing, are based on those deceptions, which is why there's evil in the world. So when the world says, why is there so much evil in the world if God loves us? Well, this is why. It's because Satan is the deceiver who is deceiving everyone, and people have chosen to believe him rather than God. So God says, I'm sending Christ to make a way so that you can have a way out from the deception. So now you're not going to believe the deception, because you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So this is where the power really lies. This is what is known as the keys to the kingdom. The key is believing God over Satan's words, or what he is doing in the word, because it's deception, and it's designed to keep us in darkness so that we don't operate or do what we do according to what we know is true. And so verse 21 says of John 20, so Jesus says to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what's significant about this is before the upper room, right? We know in Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this is after Jesus was raised from the dead. This is right after the resurrection. This is when after the disciples were hiding because they were afraid that they were gonna be put to death. And so here is Jesus now, after when he gathers them all together, And they're all there, you know, after doubting Thomas and all that, says, oh, I know, I'll believe if I see it. And he says, oh, well, stick your hand in my side. So now we are further along in this whole experience. And here's Jesus, and he breathes on them. He breathes. Now, the word there, I put it here, it's phaseo. And that's different than the word pneuma, which is the Greek word for spirit or breath of God, which is the word there translated Holy Spirit. That's pneuma, right? We're familiar with that. We've been talking about that. And so what happens is Jesus phaseos them so that they can receive pneuma. So he phaseos the pneuma upon them. And God is breathing with his breath spirit into them, spirit upon them. So that is who God is. God is what? Spirit. They that worship him must worship him. So for them to be able to have the power and the authority of God, they needed to receive the Holy Spirit so that they could be strengthened in order to do the will of God, to live or operate according to truth and overcome what was going on in their heads, which was fear, because they were hiding. This is all coming out of them hiding after Jesus was already raised from the dead. They're afraid. And so now he is giving them power so that they can overcome their fear and have boldness and live out the word of God. And that is what is known as and behold. It is the and behold of God. It is that spirit of God that enables us to soar like an eagle. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Hallelujah. God in our lives. There is nothing more amazing than experiencing God for yourself. This is something that no one can do for you. No one can make this happen. This is something God does when we receive him for ourselves, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, when we choose to apply the word of God in our lives, when we choose to obey his commandments. We're able to do. Jesus said, greater works will you do because I go to my Father. And when Jesus says that you will do great things, who are you and who am I to say, no, we won't, or to say we can't? When God has made every provision for us, he has made a way for us, he's given us of himself to us so that we can have the wherewithal to actually accomplish the things of God. This is why it's so important to have a relationship with Christ in your life. You can't just be religious because there's no power in that. And the world doesn't even respect that. Nobody does. But God has given you authority. He has given you power. He has given you strength. And all we need to do is apply the word of God in our decision making, in our ways, in the things that we do, and operate in the wisdom of God. And that's what we are here to do, isn't that right? We're here to help each other in that process. And we know that Satan is good at what he does. He is a masterful deceiver and liar and manipulator. And he can get in people's heads in such a way that they will believe something that is totally not true and false about themselves even. And think that it's reality. That's how good he is. Saints of God, the only way to overcome it is the word of God and a knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. And we have to operate in truth today. I know that there's all kinds of things going on in the world. And we know that we're living in the last days. And we know about Gog and Magog and Ezekiel 38 and 39 coming down from the north where Russia is invading into Israel. We know the word of God talks about all these things. And we know that there's a finger right now on the bombs that can destroy the whole planet. And there's a threat. And it's all around us. There's plenty of reason to be fear. You overcome coronavirus, and now you got to overcome World War III threats. And so there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. The question is, will you continue to operate in fear and anxiety, or will you stand up and be a witness to the truth of God? Will you believe God and his word? Will you stand in the righteousness of God? Will you be the witness he's called you to be? I pray that you have a relationship with God that is so authentic that Christ in you causes you to testify of him, causes you to be the witness that you've been called to be. You are who you are by divine design. God made you the person you are. He placed you in the family you're in. He placed you in the situation you are in for the very purpose of being a witness for the kingdom of God. Let God use you. Stop believing the lies about yourself. You are great and awesome in the sight of God. You are children of the Most High God. He has called you for such a time as this. He has molded you and shaped you in his image. He has imparted his power. He has overthrown the works of darkness and the kingdom of darkness and Satan. And all power and authority has been shared with you through Christ, so you can have life and have it more abundantly. This is the Christian life. So I pray, Lord, that you would arise in the hearts of your people, that you would enable them to have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, that you would manifest yourself in every single one of us who is here today, and that you would enable us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Forgive us for our sins, oh God. Wash us and cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness, that we might be free to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Oh God, we thank you, oh Lord, for what Christ has done and for all that he is about to do even through us as we face another week. Be our guard and our shield. Let the blood be on our doorposts, that you would be the one who sustains us and keeps us. Give us traveling mercies as we go. Sustain us and keep us from sickness and disease, that we would have life and not death, that we would be strengthened and made whole in every way. Through Christ our Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.